In this third and final part of my presentation, I'll be talking about the power of UU symbols and COVID-19. The hymn we just heard, "We'll Build a World," affirmed that we can make a difference. And now I will try to show why I believe that our three UU stories are fundamental to both understanding COVID-19 and to dealing with it, which I also believe gives us hope and joy. Please look at slide 6. First, our central story of the search for truth. A key to our dealing with COVID-19, as our flaming chalice affirms, is searching for the truth. The truth about how to prevent or limit the virus from spreading, about how to develop a vaccine so people won't get it, about how to develop a drug to fight the virus, and about how to diagnose and deal with future coronaviruses. And what do we see? We see that universities around the world, international teams of researchers, are working around the clock. During this time of global need, these scientists and scholars have become increasingly connected and interdependent, disregarding traditional concerns such as academic credit. They are sharing data and collaborating across national borders in extraordinary new ways. And we're so far ahead of where we were in past pandemics. They didn't know, for example, what caused the 14th century Black Death or the 1918 influenza. I'm told that during the 1918 influenza, the best guess of the medical faculty of Paris was that it was caused by the astrological positions of the stars. But now, it just took scientists 2 weeks to identify the virus and to sequence its entire genome. So yes, medical science seems to be winning in the search for the truth concerning this pandemic. And that's a cause for hope, indeed joy. But we all know that's not enough. If science is winning, and we know what to do, the question still remains, will we? Will we have the political will to make use of this scientific knowledge? Please look at slide 7. Second, our creation story. Our second story, our creation story of evolution, is symbolized by the tree of life, which tells us we get the coronavirus because it already exists in other life, for example, in bats. And if we want to protect ourselves, we need to be mindful of how we relate to other life. But we haven't been protecting ourselves. We haven't been mindful. As we've often been warned, it was just a matter of time before something like this was going to happen. We cram into every corner of the planet, and we developed a vast wildlife trade. We run wet markets in South Asia, bush meat markets in Africa, where infections are easily transmitted from one animal to another. And then, with global air travel, an epidemic can convert to a pandemic within weeks or months, exactly as it did with COVID-19. But the good news is that just as our connection to all of life can give us the virus, it can also show us how to deal with it. Which is why, for example, the Trudeau government announced it is pumping $23 million into an academic research lab in Saskatchewan. Vito Intervac is working on developing a vaccine for COVID-19. It already has a head start. It's been working on coronavirus vaccines, primarily for animals, for 4 decades, including successful vaccines for cattle and pigs. So our hope, based on our connection to all life, is twofold. One, that if we start treating animals better, it will also protect us. And two, that in finding more about what protects animals from the virus, we can also develop a vaccine for ourselves. Please look at slide 8. Third, our story of how we ought to live. Our third story of how we ought to live is symbolized in the photo of planet Earth as viewed from outer space, reminding us of the need to care for each other. So, are we caring for each other during COVID-19? Within individual countries, I think, it's a mixed bag. Some countries, like the United States and Great Britain, aren't doing very well, mainly because they stripped the people and systems required to respond effectively to COVID-19, and so didn't. But on the other hand, some countries have had great success, with leaders who have risen to the moment, demonstrating resolve, courage, empathy, respect for science, and elemental decency, and thereby dulling the impact of the disease on their people. This is particularly true of some countries with women leaders, such as, and most notably, Jacinda Ardern, the 39-year-old Prime Minister of New Zealand. Here at home, we weren't as quick on the bit as in New Zealand, and seem to have failed our seniors in care homes. But there's much to be satisfied with. We see a government that listens to science. We see a lot of people doing so much to help one another, social distancing, doing shopping for those that need, at home. We see so many people stepping up, most notably the medical care workers and others in essential services. We see signs to cheer us up. On Helmut and Marilyn's front door, there's a beautiful photo with a saying from Victor Hugo, "Even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise." And near where we live, there's a sign in chalk on the sidewalk, "Don't count the days, make the days count." Where we still face enormous challenges is making these success stories planet-wide, which would require serious international cooperation. And there's a major problem in getting that cooperation. You may recall that in the Ebola crisis of 2014, the U.S. managed to get enough countries around it to collaboratively defeat Ebola. But now, in this pandemic, the U.S. has abdicated its role as global leader and has turned its back on the global coalition fighting the disease, favoring instead a go-it-alone approach, and getting involved instead in a blaming war with China. And so our hope is this, that other countries will step up, developing new forms of organization to revive global cooperation, to defeat a killer that does not respect national borders. As I close today, I'd like to recall our opening words by Mark Morrison Reed, saying that the role of religious community is to help us see our connectedness, thus inspiring us to act with justice. Today I've talked about the power of the fundamental beliefs, stories, and symbols of our UU community, of how they proclaim our connection to all of planet Earth, and give us the insight for how to care for it. It is our hope, our joy, that we will indeed get through this pandemic, and that, based on our search for the truth, based on our understanding of our interconnection with all living creatures, and based on our caring for each other, we will indeed create a world that is more just, more sustainable, and more resilient. And what joy to be able to participate in making that happen. So what's stopping us? Let's do it. Let's conclude this presentation by listening to the Chapel Hill, North Carolina Unitarian Universalist Virtual Chamber Choir sing the hymn, We Would Be One.